ABC Radio Australia.
Well, the Australian government appears to remain undeterred despite remarks from several Pacific leaders this week on its approach to coal-fired energy. On Monday, a key global report from the IPCC declared that without drastic changes, including virtually eliminating carbon emissions by the year 2050, the world won't be able to avoid the worst effects of global warming. The report urged Australia and the world to quit coal within just 22 years, but the Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison and many of his senior ministers have rejected that. In response, here at Pacific Beat, we've heard from the Prime Ministers of both Tuvalu and Samoa. Here's Anele Sapuanga.
I would hope that Australia would again rethink its policies to energy, to climate change, and lift its NDCs, its emission targets, and move away from the coal industry. This will help save the people.
This is Samoa's Prime Minister Tuilapet Salele.
You are in a dilemma in the sense that you have made commitments to the Paris Agreement, and at the same time, you are trying to also ensure that the energy cost to the people would be cheaper. It's a kind of a situation that requires leaders with courage, with political courage.
Well, Australia's Assistant Minister to the Pacific is Anne Rustin, and I spoke with her earlier about it. We saw the IPCC report released this week, and since then Pacific leaders have made it pretty clear they want the Australian government to give up coal-fired power, which was one of the recommendations for Australia and the entire world within just 22 years, in fact, from the report. They seem to be perceiving that Australia is prioritising lower power prices for Australians at the expense of island states in the Pacific, which of course will be hardest hit by rising sea levels. The government here, we've heard the Prime Minister, the Environment Minister, your colleagues rejecting the report's recommendations. As Assistant Pacific Minister, how are you going to deliver the message of your government back to the leaders in the Pacific?
Well, look, it's a very, very important issue. And the fact is that Australia has absolutely always remained committed to all of its global obligations in relation to carbon emissions. You know, we've been on track to meet them. We've exceeded them in many instances, and we will continue to do so. But what we are saying in Australia is that there is a coal future. We believe there is a coal future, but it's a clean coal future, and we will continue to strive to meet our obligations, to look towards a clean energy future. But, you know, it's a case of you can walk and chew gum as well, and we are absolutely committed to assisting and working with the Pacific to make sure that we build resilience to climate change. The other thing we also need to remember is that the issue of global warming is exactly that, is a global issue, and it's going to require a global solution. Australia's absolutely committed to play its part in delivering its commitments towards that outcome. But we are one player in a global scenario.
The thing is, climate experts say that Australia actually isn't on track and the world isn't on track as well. And we're also seeing Pacific leaders actually say, we saw Anote Tong, the former president of Kiribati, speak with us on Pacific Beach this week. And he's also written, quote, "We believe that Australia is failing in its duty as a regional leader." It's a pretty clear message from the Pacific. They're not impressed.
You look, absolutely, and I think that one of the things that we do need to do is we need to work with the Pacific so that they can understand that we are absolutely committed to meeting our obligations and working with the rest of the world so the rest of the world meets their obligations. I would suggest that we are on track to meet our targets and our commitments in relation to Paris, and we will certainly be working to make sure that that happens. I'm more than happy and certainly looking forward to meeting with leaders around the Pacific to sit down and explain to them in great detail where our commitment lies. But, you know, I understand, you know, countries like Kiribati, you know, have certainly indicated the significant impact that climate change is already having on their country. And we take that very seriously. And I'm absolutely committed, as is the Foreign Minister, as is the Prime Minister, to work with all countries in the Pacific to make sure, A, we do what we need to do to meet our obligations to try and mitigate against the existence of climate change, but also to make serious commitments, and we have made serious commitments about building resilience into these countries and into their communities to make sure that they can withstand the changes that are occurring. Because, as I said earlier, Australia by itself cannot possibly make the necessary changes to meet the world's obligations. I mean, that's just completely unrealistic.
On other key regional issues, we've seen in the Solomon Islands this week at a regional meeting, the Prime Minister of that country, Rick Ho, talk about Pacific Island countries having the workforce that can address your needs, as in both Australia and New Zealand, in terms of seasonal work or helping to fill the labour shortages currently being experienced on Australian and New Zealand farms as well. He says that Pacific countries should be your first stop in your search for reliable, hard-working people. It seems to be a pretty clear message to the Australian government. The Pacific Island leaders are disappointed by the talk of late about an agriculture visa that, while your colleagues have said would work side by side with the Pacific Seasonal Workers Scheme, the Prime Minister Rick Ho seems to think they're not convinced out there and they're worried.
Well, I mean, hopefully over the next few days we'll see some pretty significant announcements from the Australian government in relation to absolute commitment to Pacific labour mobility, and particularly the seasonal workers and the Pacific labour schemes. Certainly the workers that that are coming to Australia and working on our farms that are coming out of the Pacific Islands are highly regarded and highly sought after. And we think that some of the things that we would like to do over the coming months will increase the ability for the connectivity between the islands and Australia. And certainly the roundtable that's happening in Honiara as we speak has been a very important step towards that. But we are absolutely, as a government, committed to our Pacific labour schemes. We give them absolute priority, so the Prime Minister Ho can be absolutely assured that the Australian government gives a very significant priority and preferential treatment to our Pacific schemes, and we're certainly looking forward to getting them working more robustly, and I would hope that we will be able to allay any of the fears that have been raised very soon.
Well, you say in a matter of days, and we actually have the Foreign Minister in Papua New Guinea at the moment, and we understand on the agenda, among other issues, is actually to discuss the opportunities for PNG particularly to increase its participation in the Pacific Seasonal Workers Program. What's taken so long for that? We've seen PNG politicians talk about this. They're disappointed that they actually have much smaller numbers of people coming to Australia than much smaller population countries like Tonga and Vanuatu. So do we expect that PNG could be filling that gap? Is that, when you talk about possibly seeing some announcements in coming days, is that something we can anticipate?
Well, certainly, I mean, not to preempt the Foreign Minister's discussions in PNG, but what we'd like to do is to talk to any country in the Pacific who wants to make available this particular facility. We have seen quite small numbers out of PNG, and we certainly need to find out from the PNG and why we're not seeing the take-up of this particular facility in the same way that we have seen out of Samoa and Tonga and the Solomon Islands and Vanuatu. If we can try and determine what it is that's preventing some of the other nations from being able to access it or want to access it, then maybe we can work through those hurdles and get them out of the way. And that is certainly one of the things that the Foreign Minister will be discussing when she's in PNG.